Well, I want to thank you guys, the worship team, for leading us in such awesome worship. Thank you guys for giving your time. And I'm so blessed every time you guys lead us in worship. And guys, I want to ask you guys to go ahead and take out your bulletins. There's an outline in your bulletin to follow along. This series, you guys, is going to be a little bit different. Last series, we just went through the book of Romans, went straight through the book. It was very deep, very convicting and challenging. This series that we're going to do is a little bit different. It's called I Have No Idea How To ... And my goal of this series, I'm just going to go ahead and let you guys know, my goal of this series is for the people of Catalyst Christian Church to see the Bible as more than just a manual for how to get to heaven, more than just people having wars, and more than just, it is the actual guidebook, the actual way to get it done right. What I want people to do at the end of this series is to see that the Word of God is the authoritative source. It is the, not only just that it's the Word of God, but if it is followed, life works. That's what my goal of this series is. So we're going to be tackling extremely practical topics, just showing the relevance of the Bible for daily life. Guys, I want to tell you that if people would actually do what the Bible says, things would be a whole lot better. We get in trouble when we don't do what the Bible said. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs, basically, for the next 6 weeks. So I just want to read this to you. Osceola McCarty. Anybody know who Osceola McCarty is? Probably not. Spent a lifetime making other people look nice. Day after day, for most of her 87 years, she took in bundles of dirty clothes and made them clean and neat for parties she never attended, weddings to which she was not invited, graduations she never saw. She had quit school in the sixth grade to go to work, never married, never had any children, and never learned to drive because there's never any place in particular she wanted to go. All she ever had was work, which she viewed as a blessing. Too many other black people in rural Mississippi did not have even that. She spent almost nothing living in her old family home, cutting the toes out of shoes if they did not fit right. Has anyone ever cut the toes out of shoes? Anyone done that? Okay, cool. If they didn't fit right, and binding her ragged Bible with scotch tape to keep Corinthians from falling out. Over the decades, her pay, mostly dollar bills and change, grew to more than $150,000. More than I could ever use, Miss McCarty said the other day without a trace of self-pity. So she's giving her money away to finance scholarships for black students at the University of Southern Mississippi here in her hometown. It made such huge national waves. I pulled that out of the New York Times. This was back in 1997. This illustrates the Dave Kibler first rule of money management. It's not the amount of money you make, but rather the amount of money you spend that will determine your financial situation. Today, we are talking about I have no idea how to manage money. And this is not a sermon on giving, okay? It's not. It's about money management. Proverbs 22:7 says this, the rich rule over the poor. And the borrower is slave to the lender. What we need to do is start looking at financial debt and financial things like that as slavery. Slavery, a form of voluntary slavery, because this is why we voluntarily put ourselves in slavery. It's because the plantation owner has something we want. That's it. Because the credit card can get us something we want, we voluntarily indenture ourselves to the credit card company. Here, I pulled some statistics, and there's a lot of slavery going on here, guys. American household credit card debt statistics through 2012 says this. It's not a pretty picture. U.S. household consumer debt profile. The average credit card debt in the average home is $15,204. The average mortgage debt is $148,818. And the average student loan debt is $33,005. In total, American consumers owe $11.28 trillion in debt. That means, as a nation, Americans, we are living $11.28 trillion above our means as a nation. That breaks down to $848 billion in credit card debt, 7.93 trillion in mortgage debt and 1.76 trillion in student loans. What does that tell us, guys? What does that tell us? That family that you're trying to keep up with, that's what this tells us. That family you're trying to keep up with that has the stuff that you want, they're broke. They are. That's what it means. That means that we as a nation have no idea how to manage money, and that's why we've got to go to God's Word and figure out what it has to say, because I believe the misuse of money is a spiritual problem. It's not a financial problem. It's a spiritual problem, and I'll show you why. So the step one to managing money, the first thing is you got to build character, okay? Money management is not a financial issue. It is a character issue. Proverbs 22:1 says this, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. In other words, having a good name, having character is more important than the money you spend, okay? Dave Ramsey says this. Dave Ramsey says, I love Dave Ramsey. You hear a lot about him today. Children do what feels good. Adults devise a plan and stick to it. The major test of character is your ability to delay gratification. That is the major test. Do you have to have it now, or are you willing to wait? I want you guys to check out this video showing human nature. Human nature 101. Can we delay gratification? Do we have the character to not rush out and get what our stomach and our heart and our passion says we have to have at the moment? See, guys, inside every one of us, myself included, is a bratty little kid that wants his own way. You just have to come to terms with that inside of you and inside of me, there's this bratty little kid, this whiny little kid that's demanding to get what he wants. And no other comic strip illustrates this better than Calvin and Hobbes. How many of you Calvin and Hobbes? Yeah, absolutely. Calvin is the best, okay? And I want you guys to check this out. Calvin and Hobbes are talking, and Calvin says, I don't want to pay any dues in life. I want to be a 1 in a million overnight success. I want the world handed to me on a silver platter. Hobbes rolls his eyes and says, good luck. And then Calvin says, surely you concede I deserve it. Now, one of the reasons why Calvin and Hobbes is so popular or was so popular is that Calvin showed that bratty little kid that had to have it. And guys, that bratty little kid inside of us, that Calvin is destroying us. It's destroying us because we're $15,000 in credit card debt alone on the average. So guys, we have to build character. We have to make sure that we get that bratty little kid that's inside of us on a leash and say, listen, no, you're not going to get your way. We're going to do things the right way. The second step is this, is to use wisdom. All right? So once we build character, once we get that bratty little kid on a leash, then we have to use wisdom. Now, wisdom conjures up the images of old guys sitting on top of mountains with beards, okay? But that's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is simply the ability to foresee the consequences of your actions and choose the path that leads to your desired outcome. That's what it is. It's that you can see, if I do this, what will happen? And if I don't do this, what will happen? And choose the path that leads to your desired outcome. Financially speaking, this is what it says. Immaturity says, I've got it. I've got 20 bucks in my wallet. I've got it. Let's spend it. I deserve it. I need it. That's what immaturity says. Wisdom says, is this the best use of this money? That's what wisdom says. Now, I want to ask you a question. Does immaturity or does wisdom govern your financial situation? See, Proverbs 22:3 says this, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. All right? The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. In other words, it's kind of like a minefield right here. And the wise person says, okay, there's a minefield there. I probably shouldn't go there. I should probably go this way. But the simple, others, the foolish, keep going and pay the penalty. Okay? So there's a thing that happens called life. Cars wear out. Air conditioner units go bad. Roofs leak. Christmas comes each year. Birthdays come each year. Medical bills happen. A kid goes to college. Listen, these things happen. And the prudent, the Bible says, see that coming and they take refuge. But the simple keep going and pay the price. When these things happen, which they will, there's never been a car that hasn't worn out. There never has been an AC unit that hasn't gone bad. Christmas does come this year. These things are coming. What is your plan? That's what Proverbs 22:3 is saying. See, the wise person sees this stuff and makes a plan, but the simple keep going, and boom, it blows up in their face. Okay? So what are you going to do when life happens? All right? Well, the second thing that this teaches is that and I love this, the simple, which is what he says here, the foolish see a snapshot, and the wise see the entire movie. Okay, now what am I talking about? Let me tell you. All right, look, for example, you have $2,000 in your bank account. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, the simple person, the foolish person, would say $2,000, that's $2,000, that's awesome. All right, the wise person sees the whole movie. They look at 3 months before. They saw that 3 months ago we had $10,000. Then the next month we had $8,000. Then the last month we had $5,000. Wow. They're seeing the whole movie. They're seeing a downward trend, and they see it coming. They see that what we're doing is not working, and they change, okay? See, the foolish only sees the snapshot, but the wise sees the trend, okay? And that's what he's talking about here, all right? So what are you? Are you wise or are you foolish? Do you see life coming at you, and are you ready for it? That's the question. That is why we use wisdom. And then he goes down here. He says this in the next verse in Proverbs 22:5. It says, in the path of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them. Now let's bring this around financially speaking. Okay. Nowhere is this more true than the area of money. Now, when couples come to me and they ask me to marry them, they want me to preside over their wedding ceremony. I make sure that we do pre-marriage counseling. We have an entire session devoted to finances, and I always ask this question. I always ask to make sure that they have math skills. I always ask this question. I'm going to ask you guys this. You need a coat. You walk into the store, and a coat that is normally priced $50 is on sale for $26.14. How much do you save? And then the couples, they get out their calculators, they get out there, and they do the math. And probably some of you guys are doing that right now. What is the answer? $23.86. How many of you guys got $23.86? Absolutely. That's how much you save. I say that's wrong. And they're like, huh? I say, do it again. And they go back and they do it. $23.86. That's wrong. Do it again. And they start getting mad at me at this, and they even pull out the calculator and they show it. Look, 50 minus 26.14 is 23.86. That's how much we save. I said that's wrong. You haven't saved a penny. You've spent 26.14. And they even start arguing with me. They start arguing. No, we have actually saved 23.86. I said, no, that shows the snare of advertising. That shows what a brilliant job advertisers have done in shaping our minds, making us think we are saving when we're handing them money. They have done that. And probably there's some people in here right now that are wanting to argue with me on this. And there's another group that's saying, okay, there's a $50 coat for $26. Okay, where's that? I'm going to ask him after. I'm going to go. I know some of you. I know. But guys, that is what the brilliant job advertisers have done to make us think we're saving when we're handing them money. Now, you have spent less, yes, but you have not saved. Remember, in the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their lives stay far from them. Okay? First of all, we have to realize that we are not saving when we're spending. I mean, you want to look at it this way. Americans have saved themselves into $15,000 worth of credit card debt on average. Well, that's some pretty good savings, isn't it? Okay? Well, the second snare that I see out there is this. It's snaring into thinking that wants are really needs. That wants are really needs. But do they use the word need? Oh, no, they wouldn't be so foolish. One of the most successful advertising campaigns in history was you deserve a break today. And it was billed as the cure for, you know, your boss is a jerk, your coworkers are gossiping, life is falling apart, your roof is leaking, your car is breaking down, and all of a sudden you deserve a break today. And what, pray tell, is the place where you deserve a break? What is the place that is going to answer all of your problems? What is the place, this Shangri-La, this utopia? McDonald's, exactly. Okay, McDonald's? You know, do you really think they'd be so foolish to tell you what they really want you to do? Do you really think that they would say, we want you to bring $15 and buy some hamburgers? The places would be empty. McDonald's will go out of business if they marketed themselves that way. So they have to market themselves as something that you need, something that you deserve. And they play upon that bratty little kid, that bratty little Calvin that's within every single one of us that says, I deserve it, I deserve it. And therefore, they pry our hard-earned dollars out of our hands and put us into debt over things that we think we deserve. In the path of the wicked are snares and pitfalls. But those who would preserve their lives stay far from them. We have to realize, and especially if you're a parent, we have to realize how advertising has shaped our minds. We have to realize how, and if you're a parent, you need to make sure you're speaking to your children about the effects of advertising and how they create such discontent within us, and so that we will knock ourselves out to work more and get things that we think we deserve. Advertisers have done a brilliant job, and I understand advertisers need jobs. I understand that. I'm not against advertising. What I'm against is the fact that we have spent ourselves into debt over things that they have programmed us to do. So guys, in the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls. Those who would preserve their lives stay far from them. So guys, here are four practical, godly money management principles. Okay, we've got to build character, rein in that kid. Second, we've got to use wisdom. The third, so here are four practical things to manage money management principle we find in the Bible. First one is this: need less. Need less. All right? Philippians 4, 12 through 13 says this: I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret to being content in each and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. G.K. Chesterton wrote, there are two ways to be extraordinarily wealthy. One is to accumulate more and more, and the other is to need less and less. The wealthiest man or woman isn't the one who has the most, but the one who needs the least. So I want to give you a test. Is this a want or is it a need? I don't want you to say anything out loud, but I want you to answer the question, want or need? When I say this thing, cell phone, cable or satellite TV, air conditioning, DVR, video games, iPod, iPad, internet, DVD, Blu-ray, wants or needs? Well, and the only reason I picked those things was I picked only one of those things existed the year that I was born. That was air conditioning. And it existed in 1/3 of American households. And I hate to say it, but people did just fine. People did just fine. All those things, most of those things that I just listed have been invented in the last 20 years. That we didn't even know existed before 20 years ago, but now they're needs. No, they're not needs. They're wants. See, most of us determine what we need by looking at the broke people around us. And imagine that. Imagine a bunch of broke people trying to figure out what we need by looking at what other broke people have gone broke getting. That's the context of the absurdity we're living in. So the first step to practical godly men is to need less. Okay? Determine, here's a radical thought. Determine that you will live as simply as possible. Embrace simplicity by needing less and less. Okay? That's the first thing. To need less. You can be extremely wealthy if you need very little. Second, this is practical. This is implement margins. All right? Implement margins financially. Listen to what Proverbs 21:20 says. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. Guys, Dave Ramsey, like I said, recommends a $1,000 emergency fund, cash on hand for as a margin against what he calls life. Okay? Now, this flows into something I was taught as a young child. All right? And this has been a guiding principle for me. I've shared it before. I'm going to share it again because it's very, very, very important. It's called the concept of the financial floor. When I was 5 years old, started getting an allowance, 50 cents. All right? 50 cents a week. But before they would let me have it, my parents said, you have to have $2 on cash, on hand, at all times to be able to produce it. You have to. You're never allowed to go below $2. That was a margin. So they said, David, you have $7. How much money do you have? I said, $7. Said, no, you have $5 because there's a $2 floor. You cannot go below. So you start counting at two. And as I began to really like that, I raised that voluntary on myself. By the time I was a senior in high school, I'd set a $200 financial floor for myself. I'll never forget the time I had $205 and a movie cost $6 and I couldn't go because I only had $5. I started counting at $200. Implementing margins is very, very, very wise. So I want to ask you, do you live paycheck to paycheck? Do you build margins into your life financially? Because if you do not build margins financially, you will be what the Bible calls a fool. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. Let's just change that to a paycheck, all right? The wise store up paychecks, but fools gulp theirs down. If you're gulping down your paycheck every single week, you need to start implementing some margins. You need to start needing less, okay? So that you have margins. But when life happens, you need margins. That's wise. Third, practical godly money management principle is this. Give every dollar a name. Give every dollar a name. Proverbs 23:5. I love this. And you guys will love hearing this too. Cast but a glance at riches and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. How many of you all have had money fly off to the sky like an eagle? And you have no clue? Absolutely. I have too. This really hit me this past year, guys. It just bothered me to no end. Rachel, when Sam went to kindergarten, and we didn't need someone staying at the home with him all the time, my wife went from working 2 days a week to working 3 days a week. And that equaled out, as a nurse, about $400 extra dollars a month. And after a year, I was looking back when she started that in August. The next August, our bank account had not moved one penny. Not one penny. $400 extra dollars a month coming in, and we had nothing to show for it. I saw this, and I said that it sprouted wings and flew away. I had no clue where it went. No idea where it went. No idea. It was gone. It was at Starbucks. It was at McDonald's. It was at the movies. I guess I have no idea where it went. And I got down on my knees and I repented because God had given me these resources and I had no idea what would $4,800 do? That could plant two churches in India at $2,000. A church that still have $800 to do whatever I wanted to do. I mean, guys, it sprouted wings. And when I realized that, I said, okay, no more of this. We are going to start telling money where to go instead of wondering where it went. And so now every dollar that comes into the Kibler home has a name. We have envelopes, cash envelopes. At the beginning of every month, I go and I get a certain amount of money. And we have envelopes for groceries, cash, for restaurants. We have one for car insurance. We have one for a new car because life is going to happen. My car has 175,000 miles on it. Going to need a new one soon. We have one for savings. We have one for birthdays because we have 3 children. We need to plan for that. Christmas, we have one for auto repair. We have one for sports. Our kids are all in sports. We have one for Bluegrass Christian Camp or mission trips for the kids. And we even have a mad fund. We say, you know what, we're going to, this is money we're just going to enjoy. It ain't much, but it's something, all right? And so, guys, we have all of these things. Every dollar has a name in the Kibler household. And we're watching our wealth build because we're not allowing it to sprout wings and fly away. So give every dollar a name so that you don't spend money where it's not supposed to go. The fourth one is this, and this is just the financial. It sums up everything that I could say. This is from one of my favorite pastors, Sean Wesley. He said this. They said, give us your deal on money. He said three things. He said, earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. That's it. Earn all you can, save all you can, give all you can. One of my favorite pastors, Tony Campolo, has written many, many, many books, brings in millions of dollars a year. He and his wife decided that they're going to live on $50,000 a year. That was their thing. They're just going to do that, and they just give the rest away. Is it a sin to earn $1 million? No. Is it a sin to keep it all to yourself? Yes. You earn all you can. You save all you can, and you give all you can. Guys, if Osceola McCarty can give $150,000 to a university after making less than minimum wage, working as a washerwoman, we have no excuses. Let's stop playing games and get serious about how we manage God's property. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your word, which leads us and guides us. Lord, those Proverbs are just amazing. And Lord, I pray that today there would be a bunch of people in here that would simply begin to manage money according to what the Bible has to say. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for this awesome, for the awesome book of Proverbs, which leads us and guides us.